Good morning.
Ooh, a little loud. I have an assistant up there. It's good.
I'm Steve Schaff. For those of you who don't know, I'm the sound guy, and sometimes during an energetic song, you might look up there, you might see me dancing. That's a great part about being up there is you have room. Anyway, Doug wanted me to talk just a little bit this morning about giving. In Luke 21, 1 through 4, as he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said. This poor woman has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. I've been a member here a lot of years, and when my wife Tammy and I first got married, I had been attending a church in Portland, and I really hadn't been giving anything. I was just kind of going. But when we got married, I really felt God talk to me and say, you should give something. Well, we weren't making a whole lot of money, and so we decided, what can we afford to give? And it turned out that that was 4% of what we earned annually. So we did that for a while, and our income started to grow, and it became 6% and 8% and 10%. And there were years where we had windfall, like the year I crushed my foot, and I got insurance money that came in, and I gave money from that. And there were years that we actually gave more. When we first came here, we had been looking for a church. We'd moved from Portland, and we really hadn't been giving to a church because we didn't have a church that we belonged to. And it was about October before we joined the church. So it had been almost a whole year that we hadn't given anything. Now, the decision was, do we just donate a large check, or do we find something that the church can use that will enhance the service? Well, being part of sound, being a tech guy, I realized there were some special microphones that we could really use. So rather than just writing a check to the church, we donated some microphones, something that they could use. It's time, it's assets, it's your tithe, it's what God puts on your heart. I don't know where anybody here is in a financial situation. I don't know what God's putting on your heart. But I do know that in Luke, Christ talked about those that gave from their riches because they gave for the show. And the widow gave all she had because she gave from the heart.
Remember?
It was me! It was me!
Check. All right, so speaking of put on your heart, this was just put on my heart.
Oh, okay, real quick. Doug asked me to do this. These were mailed out. These were, there's also in the back if you don't have one. They will be collected next week. Search your hearts. Pray about it. Put down what you can do. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's finances. But at least gives them an idea of where to work. There are years that we have, we've been giving what we've been giving, and our income has gone down. And we've had to adjust that. This is not cast in stone. It's just merely a guideline for leadership.
So very quickly, Doug says quite frequently that how great our worship team is. And I agree. I'm so blessed to play with the players that we play with. And we get thanked all the time from many of you. And we sincerely do appreciate it. But one guy, this guy here, and no one knows it, no one sees it, but this guy shows up before we get here, sets this all up. We leave, he takes us all down. We didn't have anyone to run the board, he went and did that. We didn't have anyone to run the booth, he'll run and do that too. He does all this stuff that nobody sees, and I just wanted to say thank you, and we are so blessed to have him, and when the weeks he's not here, it's oh so obvious, so thank you.
When I say the band, I always mean Steve, too. Always. And the video booth. His daughter back there is running the video booth today, too. Let's give her a big hand today. We have so many people who are behind the scenes here at our church doing so many wonderful things. God cares how you spend your money. That's the title of this message. God cares how you spend your money. Like Steve, when I first became a Christian, started going to church, I was a dollar a Sunday guy. And if it was a big Sunday, and I really felt generous, maybe a fiver, okay? And Gail and I started going to this church where they believed in percentage giving, and they taught it, and they encouraged it. And so Gail and I began to try it. We began to try it. A tithe means a tenth. And in the Jewish law, in the Old Testament, in fact, in Deuteronomy, I think it's, let's bring it up, 12, what is it? What's the passage? 14:22. The Lord told the people of Israel, be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. And God always wanted to have the best. You don't go through and take all the good stuff out and then take your tenth out of there, but you always gave the best that you had off the top. And so that was a part of the Jewish faith, and continues to be, by the way. But some of the Jewish people quit doing it. And so we read in Malachi, which is the last prophet of the Old Testament, this passage, Malachi 3:8-10, God says to them, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. You ask how? Tithes and offerings, the Lord says. You're under a curse, the whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so there may be food in my house, and test me, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, you will not have room enough for it. Now, that was like the last prophet of the Old Testament. Now, when we get to the New Testament, you know, things are different. The only time that we... Is that you, Lord? The only time that we really see Jesus talk about tithe is when he's talking to the religious leaders who he calls hypocrites. Let's bring up that passage this morning. Matthew 23:23. Jesus is talking to the religious leaders, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees. He says, woe to you, you hypocrites, which is usually how Jesus talked to those guys. You give a tenth of your spices. Now, these guys were, they had their spices of mint and dill and cumin. How many of you have had mint and dill and cumin in your houses? Can you imagine going through that and taking a tenth out? Well, that's what these guys were doing. And Jesus said, now, you are tithing that stuff. That's how emphatic and crazy and eccentric these guys were. But he said, but you've neglected the more important matters. How about justice? How about mercy? How about faithfulness? You know, they had forgotten those things. Of course, these are the same guys who condemned Jesus to death later on. But they were tithing their seeds. Okay? Jesus said, you should have practiced the latter. You should have tithed. That's the only time we ever hear Jesus say anything about tithing. You should have tithed, he said. But not neglect the more important matters of the law. And the end of this verse is, he said, you strained a gnat and swallowed a camel. Only Jesus can think that kind of stuff up, you know? So that's the only words we have about Jesus about tithing, but he does talk about giving. In Luke 6:38. I think this was the Sermon on the Mount, although it doesn't say that in Luke. But Jesus says, give and it shall be given to you. That is a spiritual law. Now, just like we have physical laws, gravity, so we have spiritual laws. And this is one of them. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's the spiritual law. The measure you use will be the measure you get. Luke 6:38. Paul in Corinthians. I think that's the next one, isn't it, Michaela? Did I miss one? No. The seven principles of Christian financial giving. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 3, which we read this morning, I find the seven principles of Christian financial giving. Now, the Apostle Paul started this church in Corinth, which is in Greece. And the Christians in Jerusalem were in the middle of a famine. And Paul felt obligated to our brothers and sisters in Jerusalem, where the church started, to try to raise funds to alleviate their suffering. So he went out, as he went around Europe to the churches that he started collecting money for the Christians in Jerusalem. And these were the guidelines that he talked about when he talked about giving. First of all, he said to them, he said, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. In other words, this principle is universal for all Christians, all churches, everywhere, all times. Do what I told the Galatians to do. Secondly, on the first day of every week, Paul says. Now, what happens on the first day of every week? What is today? This is the first day of the week. Did you know that? The early Christians decided that because Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week, Sunday, that they would worship on Sunday. And so they meant, of course, the first early Christians were all Jews, so they kept the Sabbath on Saturday, began Friday night, Saturday to sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. But then on Sunday, they would worship the Lord in their Christian worship. And that's where Paul said to give is in that attitude of worship and praise and thanks is where you're to give. Beginning with the church. Each one of you, Paul said. Nobody is exempt. Nobody. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I tried to teach my kids to tithe their allowance. Tried to teach my kids. Wasn't always successful at it, but I tried to suggest it. It isn't that God needs our money, folks. It's that we need to give. We need to give because of that spiritual principle. Give and it'll be given to you. That's why the Lord encourages us. He doesn't need our money. God doesn't need money. But nobody's exempt, each one of you. Off the top, set aside a sum of money. You know, you don't pay your bills and then see if you've got anything left to give to God. That's not how it works. You give to God, and then God will make sure that you can pay your bills. That's how it works. Give, and it shall be given unto you. In keeping with your income, I like the fact that our brother Steve talked about percentage. You know, the New Testament talks about percentage. Keeping with your income. 1%, 2%, 3%. I think 10% is a good goal to shoot for. Well, should it be net or gross? Well, which one do you want blessed? Okay, your net or your gross? Okay. But if you have a percentage, if your income goes up, you give more. If your income goes down, you give less. Test the Lord. Take a percentage. Test him. Try him. That's what he asks you to do. In keeping with your income. From the heart. When I come, no collections will have to be made. Paul didn't want to have to come and be Apostle Paul, asking everybody to empty their pockets, pass the hat more than once. Have you ever been in a Christian thing where they pass the hat more than once? Anybody ever had that happen to you? I had it happen to me, okay? Where the preacher didn't think that he got enough, so he passed the hat again. You know, this, that's not what God wants. God wants it from the heart. I remember when Gail and I started giving, and I remember one Sunday I was grumbling about it. Ever happened to you? I was grumbling about it. And I heard the Lord inside me say, just clear as a bell, Doug, if that's how you feel, I don't want it. I don't want your money. If you can't give it to me cheerfully and gratefully, then you keep it. Boy, that got my attention, I'll tell you. And I had to repent. And remember that when I give to the Lord, he only wants it if I do it cheerfully, not under compulsion. And finally, no strings attached. Give it to the men you approve, Paul says. You know, we have men and women that we approve here in this congregation, that we have approved. We have a finance committee. We have leadership. In fact, we have the chairman of those two committees in this service this morning. And we take nominations. We have a nominations committee, and we ask people to serve. We have our annual meeting every year. We had it in November. And we voted democratically as a congregation for these people to take these positions. And then we trust them. We trust them on our behalf to take this money and to spend it the way that we hope that it'll be spent, to glorify God. Glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we give, it has to be with no strings attached. In my first congregation, I had a guy in my church that was wealthy. And before I got there, at the end of the year, if the church had not made its budget, he would make up the difference. And he'd do it every year, and he'd done it for years. But he did it with strings attached. One time, I had appointed a Sunday school teacher who he didn't like. And he came in to see me, and he said, Doug, I don't like that Sunday school teacher. And I want you to remove that teacher. And I said, I'm not going to do it. And he said, well, you do know that if you don't do it, I'll be leaving this church. And I said, well, you know, I hope you don't leave this church. And you know, in fact, his family had started that church 100 years before. And I said, I don't want you to leave this church, but I'm sorry, I'm not going to remove that teacher. Well, he wound up leaving the church and took his money with him and never came back until after I left. And you know what? We didn't miss it. Because our congregation had learned percentage giving. We didn't need him to make up the budget anymore on the end of the year. So we give with no strings attached. Now, Gail and I got challenged by this church, and we picked a percentage, we began to give, and we were dinks. Do you guys know what dinks are? Double income, no kids. We both had good jobs. I was in the Navy. I was an enlisted man in the Navy. Gail made more money than I did. She was a bookkeeper at Children's Hospital. She used to run the books at Children's in Tacoma. She still keeps the books in our house. And so we began to give a percentage to the Lord. I can't remember what we started at, 1% or 2% or something like that. And we had never been able to save a dime. Dinks. And we couldn't save a dime. And as soon as we started giving that percentage, our savings account began to grow. Now, I can't explain it. It doesn't make sense. It's supernatural. Give, and it shall be given to you. Gail and I have always lived at a higher standard of living than we make. We always have since we began to give to God. Isn't that amazing? I have no explanation except God. I wound up leaving that church, and that church supported me and Gail to go to the most expensive seminary in the country, Fuller Theological Seminary, which in Pasadena, California, which I think is the best seminary in the country, non-denominational and conservative, great school, and we tithed everything that we got. And that church, Lakewood United Methodist Church, supported us the whole time we were there. They sent us $250 a month. Give, and it shall be given to you. And as a result of that, I didn't have to work the whole time that I was at seminary, and I was able to just focus on my studies. And all my fellow pastor buddies of mine were working two and three jobs. And they couldn't figure out how come I wasn't working. And so they would come to me and they'd say, Doug, how can you do this? And I said, the only explanation I have, guys, now these are future pastors. In fact, today they're all over the world. And I said, the only explanation I have is I give a 10% of everything I get to the Lord. And when I left, and they would, you know what they'd say to me? I can't afford to do that. And I would say to them, no, you don't understand. You can't afford not to do that. You can't afford not to do that. Church, I encourage you this morning to give to the Lord. Pick a percentage. Give. Give it from the heart. Cheerfully. And we have many wonderful, generous givers in this congregation. I don't know who they are. I purposely do not want to know. I don't look at it. We have, I think, one person in this congregation who knows what people give, and it's not me. I never want to know what people give in this congregation. But I know we have some generous givers, and I want to encourage you to continue to give. You know, and you don't have to stop at 10% either. I'm glad that Steve said that. J.C. Penney, anybody remember J.C. Penney? He used to give 30% to the Lord, and look what happened to him. Okay? Band, would you come and close us this morning? And while I say a prayer. Jesus, everything we have is yours. Everything. Help us to give you a percentage of what you give to us. Help us to be open and generous. And Lord, pour out upon us such a blessing that we will not be able to hold it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand?